I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's from Geneva. He's from Wright State. He was drafted by the Angels. He pitched for the Indians. He's now the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's our buddy Brian Anderson. Hello, B.A.
B.A.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing well. The USFL actually inspired a conversation, which is hard to believe, yeah. Brian. But here's the thought on this. Isn't that funny? The thought was this. They're going to have a running clock in the first and third quarters because they want to tighten up the games and have them under 3 hours for their quote-unquote desired time. And I said, and Andy had some thoughts on it as well, kind of in the same vein, that if I'm going to a football game or watching, I don't care if it lasts 3:15 or if it lasts 2:50. If I'm going to a baseball game, I don't need it to go 2 hours and 30 minutes. If it goes 3:15, that's fine. Whatever. Did you ever care when you were playing? Because if I recall, you worked pretty quickly. Did you care how long a game lasted, and do you care now?
I think that everybody, at times you get annoyed with a long game. I can't say that as a player that I really ever cared. You know, I knew on my night, good or bad, the game was going to move because I was going to go out there and work quickly. I think that is such an advantage for a pitcher. You've got three or four pitches, whatever it is that you throw, you know exactly what you want to do. You have a game plan, you throw a pitch, you execute it based on that pitch, the count, and the reaction of the hitter, you know almost immediately, 99% of the time, almost immediately, what pitch you want to go to next. At that point, what are we waiting around for? The fielders, they love guys that work quick. They talk about it all the time. It keeps them on their toes. It keeps them engaged. And it's such a benefit for the pitcher, again, because now you're controlling and dictating the action, and you are the one that's setting the pace. I don't know why guys don't do more of that because it is such an advantage. But, no, I never really cared about the length of game. I will tell you now, doing what I do now, it comes up today because there's a lot of nothing happening in these baseball games. Back when I played, guys didn't like to strike out. There were guys that were going to strike out, and they're going to strike out a lot. But for the most part, guys tried to avoid the strikeout. Now they don't care. So you combine that with lots of strikeouts nowadays, lots of walks, not a lot of action on the field. I mean, sometimes you'll go 7, 8, 9 minutes before a ball is put into play. And, that can make for a really long, drawn-out, nothing-happening game. And I think that's why it has the attention today, because people are just, with everything that moves so quickly, all the options out there for sports fans, and then you have this game of baseball, which is already kind of a slower game compared to football and basketball, and now it's getting slower. And so that's why it's become an issue. So, again, when I played, didn't care that much about time, but it wasn't an issue back then.
B.A., did you ever find yourself, though, up on the hill saying, all right, I got to slow this thing down a little, not knowing? I mean, let's just say goofy play at first and there's an error, guys are throwing the ball around and it feels like the game's getting out of control. Like, do you consciously in a big league position when you actually have the ball on the mound and you can control how you can slow a game down? Did that ever process, that thought process ever go through your mind saying, all right, I just got to slow this thing down here for a sec?
Without a doubt. And for a couple of different reasons. Number one, you didn't want the game to speed up on you. I think that's what happens with a lot of young players, is that you'll be out there cruising, pitching, and all of a sudden you run into a rough spot, and then next thing you know, you're sitting on the bench and you're like, how in the world did that happen? Well, that game sped up on you mentally, and you just couldn't get yourself out of harm's way, and you end up getting taken out of the game. So as you gain experience and you kind of earn your chops in the big leagues, you learn in those moments, hey, yeah, it's time to take a break. Take a walk around the mound, just whatever it may be. And that could be for you, or Andy, to your speaking to your example, it could be that things have gotten a little out of hand on the field. You know, a couple of errors, ball gets thrown around. It's like the point guard. You get that rebound, they throw it out to you, and they're telling everybody, hey, let's slow down, set the offense, and then go out and execute. And I'm sorry for all the noise in the background, but I'm walking through downtown Seattle right now on my way to the gym trying not to get shanked. So, sorry for
trying not to get what?
City skates.
Shanked. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. It's not as smooth and clean and safe as it once was.
Wow. Did you go to the Metropolitan?
It's comforting.
While you were there?
No, not yet. We just got into town. We played last night. We're actually off tonight, the TV crew, because it's an Apple Plus game. So
right. An
off day here in Seattle. And then we finish up, go to Anaheim, and hopefully get home in the middle of next week.
Will you hit the Metropolitan while you're there?
Well, it depends.
Have you in the past?
I have in the past. That's always a favorite place to go,
without a doubt.
I still have a steak knife from there that I carry in my room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Depend on how the Leafs Lightning game goes tonight.
Ah, okay.
There you go.
I should have known. It's so silly.
4:30 game out here. So by 7:30, I'll either be heading to the Metropolitan or I'll be heading somewhere else.
Brian Anderson heading to the Metropolitan or somewhere else in
Seattle.
It's a
great steakhouse,
with the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays are 16-10, BA. They're doing just fine. Your Guardians are 12-13. We threw out earlier, okay, payroll, lousy. We all knew that. You looked at the lineup and you thought, oh, boy, where is any offense going to come from? Yet it has. And I think that's okay. And we had a big debate about, money and payroll. I find this team kind of interesting to watch right now because it's manufacturing runs, it's doing things, and I wonder if it's sustainable. Is it sustainable in today's game?
Yeah, you know what? It is. If I haven't obviously seen a lot of Guardian games up close and personal, but I will tell you this. If they're showing an offense that is versatile, then it's sustainable. What would not be sustainable is if they were on a tear of the long ball, a couple of home runs a game. Everybody's hot, getting the ball in the air and hitting home runs. That's going to dry up, I promise you, and that is not sustainable. However, if you're finding different ways to score runs, if you're moving the baseball, if a runner from time to time, get them over, get them in, playing a little bit of small ball, and then on top of that, you've got a few guys that can pop it out of the ballpark, that's the offense that everybody is searching for now. Everybody is searching for that perfect mix, and because they understand that that's sustainable, and that's the kind of offense that wins in October in playoff baseball when you're facing better pitching staff. So if the Indians' offense is finding different ways to manufacture runs, then it absolutely can be sustained because, you got a lot of different ways that you can beat another team.
Are you keeping your eyes on the Guardians and just where they are right now? Because it just feels like it's going to be up and down for us all season. And I don't know. I'm just like, what's your big picture take on the Guardians?
You know what? I really don't have one. I haven't really seen them play. I kept track of them because they came out west right before we did. We were following in their footprints. I mean, when they finished up their series sweeping Oakland, we were next team in town, and we swept Oakland. It was like, hey, if the Guardians did this, we got to handle our business out here. So we were, I was paying attention to them that way. But not really, again, having seen them play. I maybe have seen them play four or five innings all season long. I do keep my eye on them. I mean, keep my eye on those scores because it's home. And you obviously hope for the best for them. But I have not seen a whole lot of them, play with my eyes on the game. This hasn't happened.
Brian Anderson joining us. I want to bring up something I brought up to you before. And it's Shohei Ohtani. And he goes to Boston yesterday. He said, Fenway is one of my favorite parks. Always wanted to pitch here. Pitches a great game. Gets a couple of base hits. And the more this goes on, Brian, when you were a kid, you were a good position player and a good bat. And I just keep thinking, okay, so many of these pitchers used to be really good all-around players, and then as soon as they get drafted or even go to college, all right, you're not doing this anymore, sometimes even in high school. And I just keep thinking with Ohtani, is he going to bust this out, and all of a sudden we're going to start seeing multiple guys on every team who are able to throw a little bit and hit a little bit? Or is he just still a complete aberration?
I think it's both. I think that you're seeing that with other teams, the Rays in particular. You know, the last couple of drafts, you know, a few years ago, they drafted Brendan McKay, who was a heck of a pitcher at Louisville and a heck of a position player, too, could hit and DH down there. So there is already a move for teams to be able to look for guys that can do both. And then maybe that's another way that you can maximize your roster, where he can pitch a couple innings here or there, and he's also a threat with the stick. So I do think that there is a search for that type of player. I don't think you're ever going to find a player quite like Ohtani. It's amazing because he really is, in today's game relative to his peers, he is elite in both hitting and pitching. It's incredible to watch what this guy did. You saw the game yesterday. You know, however innings he ended up going with, you know, double-digit strikeouts.
Right.
And then, oh, by the way, I'm going to line a ball to left field off the Green Monster and knock my own number off the board.
Wasn't that something?
Because, you know, obviously he was pitching. And you've got his, you know, that manual board they have at Fenway Park. And his number's up there. And he hits a line drive just to the right of that number and knocks it down. It's like, are you kidding me with this guy? I mean, you thought last year was special, and he's right off, you know, starting out stronger this year than he did last year. So to be able to do it at the level that he's doing it is, I don't think you're going to find that. Not anytime soon. It is, it's incredible to watch. He is some kind of talent.
BA, could you see in the next, say, 5 years, manager goes out to the mound, he's going to take out a pitcher, and he points to second base, and the second baseman comes in to pitch, you know, like you see in high school and sometimes, you know, certainly in Little League, sometimes in college, where, okay, you're also an arm for us? Or is that just way beyond general thinking in Major League Baseball?
You know, it the game now, it may be a little progressive for today, but trust me, these teams are looking for that. That's not that far off.
Wow.
I think that at some point you're gonna get word. Oh my gosh, did you see what the Padres did last night? You know, Jake Cronenworth, who is another, you know, guy that can do a lot of different things, you know, came in to get a couple of, you know, whatever it may be. That may be a little aggressive right now, but I would not be shocked if that is not something that you see down the road. Because, again, these teams are searching for that. They are, you know, and the Rays have been very good at this, and I've had a front row seat for it, but they look for ways to maximize their roster. If you're going to give us 26 players, how can we turn that into, we basically have 27 or 28?
Yeah.
And if you've got a guy that is a heck of a, you know, like was a closer in college, but also a pretty good position player, ooh, guess what? He's got value now. And maybe he can do both for us. You know, I mean, it would take a special player, but they're looking for it. And if they can pull that off and find a way to maximize and grow their roster, you know, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. So I, you know, we're going to see it someday for sure.
BA, last thought on this. Some guys, when you're drafted, or even if you go to college, you're clearly not good enough to be a pitcher and a hitter. But guys who might come in, I have a buddy who played at Michigan State, and he said on most days their DH was a starting pitcher who had already had his start because these guys were still good hitters. Did it seem like a waste when you went to Wright State and then when you got drafted that you saw these good baseball players not swinging a bat? Or did you need that to become a major league pitcher, you know, to completely focus on the pitching?
You know, for me, it was probably that, you know, focus on the pitching, on what I'm going to do at the next level. You know, I was a good hitter coming up through college, and I got to hit a little bit at Wright State, but I never had a hitting coach. My hitting mechanics were not great because I was never really taught properly. So I just kind of – I hit based off of just, you know
– ability.
Being an athlete, ability. Yeah, kind of coaching yourself, teaching yourself. So, once I got into college, that was not really the focus. I would focus, obviously, when I get the opportunity to go out there and hit, but it was more about pitching is what's going to get me to the next level, so let's focus on that and do the best I can with the hitting. But there was never any real thought that I would be able to, to parlay that into, being a hitter at the professional level. And, that was obviously confirmed when I hit in the National League and got to see what real Major League pitching was like and realized I chose the right path.
All right, Brian, as you know, I turn to you for advice all the time. I'm just curious, with Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, and I just want to give me the best advice you ever heard your wife say to your kids or your mom gave to you. The tough one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not putting you on the spot there.
Best advice. Well, I turned to Brian for we have huge philosophical conversations like this offline all the time.
You know, listen, my mom was the heavy hand, the disciplinarian in the family. There wasn't a lot of good advice. It was just, if you didn't follow the advice that Dad gave, I'm coming down on you. I mean, I don't know. I would tell you this. I remember my father, and obviously this is more of a Father's Day type deal, but I can remember some of the best advice he ever gave to me. He said, listen, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's as a baseball player. I don't care if it's as a chemical engineer. I don't care if you're working in a tire business like I did. I don't care what you do. If you're good at it, you won't have to tell anybody. They'll know. And that was kind of his way to keep me humble. And he's like, look, if you're good, you don't have to self-promote. People know. People will know. And that was something that has stuck with me forever. Just put your nose down, go do your thing, and if you're great at it, be great at it, and you're not going to have to tell anybody. They're going to see it.
Words of wisdom, especially in the age of social media.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Oh, my good Lord Almighty. You're not kidding. I mean, way ahead of his time.
Yes.
Career batting average, .137, one home run. Quickly, who to come against? 99.
Mark Gardner, and this is the worst part about it. Joe Nathan, the former closer for the Twins, he was a starter for the Giants at that time. And so he started the game. We were in Arizona. He starts the game. He gives up 5 runs and gets 3 outs in the first inning. He does not come out for the second. So we're up 5-0, and they bring in Mark Gardner to face the number 9 hitter. Yep, hand raised, .137. They bring him in to face me, so I'm the first guy that he's going to face. So he's probably like, you kidding me? I'm already in this game. But at least I'm facing the pitcher. And he hung me a curveball, and I knocked it out of the ballpark. And I'm like, this poor guy. I mean, he probably wanted to take himself out at that point. Like, whatever. But, I will tell you this, though. When I hit that home run, I remember coming around, third, home, slapping the high fives. And then you're sitting there going, okay, we have a 6-run lead. It's the bottom of the second inning. And that lineup over there is still really stacked. Jeff Kent, Barry Bond, right down the line. And so you're saying to yourself, you know what, I can't screw this up. Hitting that home run actually added a small little layer of pressure you don't want to end up getting knocked out in the fourth inning, and now the game is 6-4. And, yeah, I hit a home run, but who cares? You got to make that thing hold up with a good pitching performance. So it added a little element of pressure, but everything ended very well. So
did you get the ball back?
That was the one highlight.
Did you get the ball back?
What's that?
Did you get the ball back?
I did get the ball back. I will tell you this, though. I think the thing that I'm most proud of, obviously hitting a home run in the big leagues is pretty sweet, but 2-for-2 in stolen bases.
Yeah, baby. And,
I know. And unbeknownst to me at the time, I actually never got the sign. I couldn't believe it. I'm leading off first base, and I'm looking over at Brian Butterfield, our third base coach, and I thought he gave me the sign. So I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, my heart skipped a beat. Like, I'm going to try to steal a base in the big leagues. Are you kidding me? Let's go. And boom, I go, throw safe. Okay, perfect. This is unbelievable. I get over to third base, and I'm like, dude, how about that? Swiping a bag. He's like, yeah, I actually never gave you the sign. We'll talk about that later. Boom, boom, boom. And then the next thing you know, it was maybe the next year, the same thing happened. I got the sign again. Off I go. They end up airmailing the throw into center field. So I do the pop-up slide, get to third. And I'm like, how about that? 2-for-2. He's like, yeah, you still don't know the signs because I didn't give it to you. I got the two bags, but actually never was authorized to get those bags.
And thus why pitchers don't hit. Okay, there we go. Brian, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, B.A.
All right, boys. Take care.
Take Peace. Care in Seattle. Be careful. We don't want you getting shanked.
Hey, listen, I've made it to the lobby of the gym. I think we're all good.
All right, good. Brian Anderson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.